Ecclesiastes, if you will. Take your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. How many enjoyed listening to Brother Lake and Kelly last night? There were a few hands. That's good, wasn't it? But like he said, something that's better is a bunch of you decide not to make those same mistakes, not be as stupid as he was. You see, God's got a lot of grace. But sometimes people don't get a second chance. Lake Kelly had a second chance. Some of us got a second chance, but most people don't get a second chance. Don't you dare go, well, I can play with sin and then come back. No. That's not. You can't guarantee nothing. You better have the fear of God. That's what Solomon says at the end of his book, Ecclesiastes. He says, you know what the conclusion of the whole matter is? Fear God. Because God will kill you. You say, God will? Yeah, God will. You know what the Bible says? Don't fear anybody that will kill your body. You fear him as he will put your body and soul in hell. That's the person to worry about. And that's not the devil. That's God. So, this afternoon I want to talk to you about being deceived by wrong devotions. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11 says this. This is Solomon. He's now about 55, maybe 60 years old, and he says this, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, everything that I had done, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was, what's the next word?
Vanity
and vexation of spirit. Now that's just an older way of saying it was a burden to my soul to think about all the wasted effort I spent. And vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. As he looked around and see, the book of Ecclesiastes is looking at the dead end life that he lived when he lived it only here. Okay? Jesus said, set your affection on things above.
Okay.
Lay up treasures in heaven. Where were all of Solomon's treasures? Here on earth. You know what? He was going so old and so feeble he couldn't enjoy them anymore.
Right.
He couldn't even walk to the bathroom. Somebody had to carry him there or put a nappy on him. He was getting to that place where he couldn't taste. He says down there, there's something wonderful about being young enough to be able to taste an apple, to be able to taste an apple pie, to be able to sit down and drink a cup of coffee and know that it's Starbucks, or that is, if you knew about America, Dunkin' Donuts. But now as he's gotten old, he puts stuff to his mouth and he can't taste anything. And he says, everything I did, has no profit in it. I don't end up with anything. It all just like sand goes through my fingers. Now, I want to look this afternoon about Solomon's downfall. Solomon was a great man. I wish we were better able to teach you more about the greatness of Solomon. I think you're getting some of that. But as I prayed over the last several months and really focused on different things, these are the things that really, I believe the Lord impressed on my heart for us to look at, and they are his failures, his downfall. Everybody talks about how wise Solomon was. Well, I want to talk about how stupid he was, and we're looking at his downfall, and it involves a wrong search for life. Solomon tried absolutely everything to see what it felt like. Remember when if you got a little brother and you go into the shop, your mom almost has to just hold both hands of him, doesn't he? Doesn't she? Huh? Because he's like, oh, pretty, and he grabs something and then all of the stuff in the shop is falling down. Oh, look, and he's smelling or whatever. This was Solomon. He wanted to know what things felt like, what they tasted like, what they sounded like. And I want to talk about the failures here of Solomon's life. Lots of disappointments. All of his goals fell short. His health was failing. His home was failing. Now, Solomon thought that there was more to life than what God had given him. Now, that's a crazy statement. You know, those miserable people are the richest people. The people that have all the cars, all the girls, they got the looks. Paris Hilton comes out of jail, and the first thing she does is she calls for a beautician and a hairstylist. Meets her at her home. Get me pretty again. And they're wrapped up in this thing. And the people who have all the money, they have no joy. They can't just enjoy going out for a walk. They hate life. You say, you've never seen Michael Jackson without his sunglasses. You know why? He's ashamed of how he looks. That man has changed the color of his skin because he's ashamed of the color of his skin. And you ought to be ashamed of him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Some of you girls are ashamed that you're white, and so you're tanning and tanning and you're putting everything on you. And don't do it. Don't buy this world's idea that how you are is beautiful. God only makes beautiful things.
Amen.
He thought, well, my kingdom's not enough. I want to try more. He had one wife, two, three, four. He says, not enough. This guy was not smart. Now, I'm talking about devotions because devotions are what we love, right? It is what we are devoted to. Let me just put it this way. It's what we think about. Some of you love sports, amen? Some of you love to eat.
Amen.
Some of you, it's 7:45 in the morning and you're queued up.
Where's breakfast?
Amen. That's not necessarily bad, but when it's 9:45 and it's devotion, you're going, uh-oh. When's lunch? What do you think about, man? And you're sitting there, you sit down to an exam, and you start thinking about, I can't wait to ride my bike. I can't wait to be with my friends. I can't wait. And listen, devotions are what your heart is thinking about. And as Leighton Kelly said last night, what you think about changes you. What you think about is what you become. Now, Solomon had some right devotions. Solomon had some very good ones, as a matter of fact. You can leave Ecclesiastes for a minute and go to 1 Kings. This is one of those incredible verses in your Bible. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm sorry, verse 3. It says, 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3. And it's not too many times when you read in your Bible these words. The Bible tells me God loves us. Amen? But you know, there aren't many times when you actually read about somebody actually loving God back. And that's a shame. Look at your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, an astounding verse. And Solomon loved the Lord. He was devoted to God. He loved thinking about God. He loved walking with God. This guy, Solomon, as he becomes king, he loves God. He had some right devotions. You know what? I find out he loved his wife. That's the whole book of Song of Solomon is about. Did you know they say the greatest songs are love songs? That's why the Song of Solomon is the best song. It's all about him being in love with this Shunammite woman. Now here's an amazing thing. He didn't stay just in love with her, but he did start off with right devotions. He actually loved his wife. He loved learning things. This was not your normal 18-year-old brain-dead teenager.
Am I drooling?
He was not like that. He didn't just go from boredom to boredom to boredom. He loved, listen, Solomon loved to learn. He was inquisitive. He loved exploring. He loved asking questions. And Solomon had a right devotion. It is not wrong to enjoy school.
Amen.
Did I just blaspheme?
No.
Yeah. Did I get you upset? It is absolutely wonderful to go, I can't wait to go to school again after summer's over. If I will shoot you, but you ought to enjoy being in school. Solomon had a right love when he loved learning. Everybody else can be brain dead and can be flipping burgers for the rest of their life until the 96. But you want to just learn and see how far you can go with God. He loved his church. He loved it so much that he was in charge and he stayed on top of building the greatest temple of all time, the temple in Jerusalem. He loved church. He wanted a place that everybody could come to and be in awe. This thing was, and this picture doesn't even do it justice, you couldn't begin. I just threw away all of the statistics and the size of this thing. Just believe me. When you're coming up and you're riding on your donkey and you're riding over towards Jerusalem from 30 miles away, depending on the direction of the hillside, you could see this like a torch, even in the sun, especially in the sun, because it was covered in gold. And the sun would hit it, and it would just, anybody coming from a direction that the sun was striking on it, could go, there's Jerusalem. Yeah. There's Jerusalem because the temple is shining. And he made this marvel because he loved it. He loved church. He loved going there. He loved people being able to come. Now, but then Solomon's love changed. Not overnight, but bit by bit. It was by his friends. His girlfriends, his wrong friends, later on, his wives. You know, like we've learned, and I'm going to say it again, he never would have allowed himself to ever bow before an idol. This is fire extinguisher. This fire extinguisher, can you imagine being a fireman?
Yes.
And then coming and realizing how efficient, how powerful that is, putting out fires. And then coming back to the fire station and then going, oh great, fire extinguisher. You have saved many people from awful fires that I have been experiencing. Oh great. You know, that we would be laughing at that. We would think it'd be stupid.
Yeah.
Solomon himself said, I will never, ever, when he was 18, he never could have thought that he would ever bow before another idol, that he would ever stand before an evil, wicked, vile idol that used to burn up children, and he would stand before them and bow and give homage and worship false gods. But it happened. It happened. Not automatically. Because it took 15 years and his girlfriends talk him into doing some evil and wicked things. And a lot of you boys would never have thought that putting a diamond in your ear was a manly thing to do. Until some girly, cutie girl comes along and says, real cute on you. That makes you look handsome. Makes you look like a queer.
Whoa, amen.
Amen. Diamond in the ear belongs to the girl.
Hey.
You think, I'm not talking off the top of my head. I have sat there, I've been in a grocery, not a grocery store, but one of these stores where it's kind of like, it's Argos in America, it was Kmart.
All right.
Here it would be, what would you have a shop like it? I don't know. But anyway, I'm just standing there next to this little booth, and there's a little girl there behind the booth, and there comes this girlfriend, boyfriend, and she's dragging him up to the counter. Now it's a little pagoda thing, and there's an ear piercing station. And the girlfriend's dragging the boyfriend right up there and says, go on, go on, come on, would you do it for me? For me? Oh, please, please do it for me.
All right, for you. Well, I'm,
I mean, the guy's got muscles to spare. And she's convinced him to pierce an ear and then pierce another ear, and I'm waiting for her to pierce his nose. Amen. Listen. They didn't, but I was just waiting for it. Amen. A lot of you girls would never think that having a tattoo on your butt was anything but filthy. But some guy come along or some other girl going, man, I get all the attention back here. Yeah. Looking at a butt. Huh? Hello, I know it's kind of funny for some of you, but you watch it 15 years from now, who's going to talk you into it? You and I know that inhaling smoke is probably the dumbest thing you could ever do for relaxation. It's second only to placing your head under the tires of an 18-wheel lorry. Amen. And yet some kid's going to hand you a little fancy rolled one that says gold tip on it. Or a player. Or whatever these things. And you're going to get into it. But today you're going, oh, that is... Who wants to suck on smoke for relaxation?
That's it.
Somebody's going to talk you into it. And here's the point. Don't be tricked into to changing what you believe. Like today. Don't be tricked into changing what you believe right now and dumping your pure hearts for rubbish.
Yeah.
Some of you like your rooms, don't you? Your mom's cleaned it up pretty good, don't they? Huh? Yeah. Wonderful. Come into your room and go, it's my room. Can you imagine the rubbish guy is coming up, picking up your rubbish and throwing it in there, shaking the big bin around and then dumping it back into the bin and saying, this is for your room. Man, that makes my room stink. And yet we will allow what God made pure to be so rubbished up by our friends.
Yeah.
Doesn't take very long, does it? Solomon regretted all of the things that he did at the end of his life. He regretted it. Never enjoyed it. Talk about that in a moment. Father, please bless this message to every heart. Lord, we're looking at the stupidity of Solomon. Why did you put so much emphasis in the Bible of his stupidity? Because it matches us. We are so dense. It takes so long to come to fear what we might do, but we need to do that. The smartest thing we can ever do is be afraid of doing wrong, afraid of failing, falling short of what you designed us to be. Bless these kids. Let them see the joy in living pure and godly, and the blessing of pleasing Jesus. Thank you for Jesus, the most purest, most humble, cleanest living, the greatest man who's ever lived. God in the flesh. But as a man, he never thought an impure thought. He never touched an impure thing. He never stole anything. He never lied once. What an example he is. Oh, thank you, Lord. But sometimes we don't appreciate Jesus, Father, until we look at just how bad we can be. Lord, continue your work in our hearts through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just quickly go through some thoughts. Four things that deceive us. Four things. And they're going to be found back in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Find Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And we're going to see just four quick thoughts. And then I want to be finished. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, radio. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Verse 1. Solomon was tricked into loving this world. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. I said in mine heart, he's talking to himself. And you heard about the guy who's walking down the street. And every day, he's sitting there talking to himself. Two old ladies are sitting on the rocking chairs on the side there, you know, small street, and they're outside of the door of their house. And they're looking at each other and talking to each other. This old man's walking beside him. He's talking to himself. There goes again. I know, he's always talking to himself. Well, you ask him. I'm not going to ask him. You ask him. Hey, you. So you talking to me? Yeah, you. Why are you always talking to yourself? He says, because I like talking to intelligent people. And he goes on and walks on. You won't get that, but I like that one. Amen. Chapter 2 and verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee, again he's talking to himself, with myrrh. Therefore enjoy pleasure, he says, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? What good is it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, and to Bailey's Irish cream, and to Paddy's Irish whiskey, and every kind of alcohol, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, always learning more wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, what was the best for everybody, which they shall do under the heaven all the days of their life. Should a man drink, or should he not drink? Should he have one or two a day? Should he have 10? Can a man drink 20? He tried everything. Verse 4. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers. They didn't have iPods back then. They didn't have stereos. So he hired people to sing all day in his house. And the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Now just stopping there, you know what you're looking at? You're looking at a man who got busy having fun. Do you understand? He was into laughter, entertainment. He knew every blue blonde joke that ever had come up with. He drank wine. He drank as much alcohol as he could. He experimented with everything that was out there. He built houses and sheds, gazebos and porches. He built swimming pools. He planted gardens. He had servants throughout his house. People who did everything. People, oh, it's easy to have somebody who signs your shoes, but he could have gotten a servant that would pick his nose. He had servants all up and down. As he went down the long porchways of his palace, somebody would comb his hair as he would pass by. I mean, his house was full. He built a huge ranch. He had a farm full of cattle and sheep and animals. He had music coming out of that house like no other house. Be like a surround sound system. You know what I find in today? People, they devote so much of their time to hobbies. Some people I know sail, and guess when they sail? On the weekends. People are devoted they get into their hobbies and they're just so focused on it, they have no time for God. Sports is a religion today. Sports is so big, every Sunday, it's not the God of heaven and earth, it's the God of a pigskin or a plastic ball. Amen. For some, family is more important to God. Oh, I can't go to church. I got to go with my mom. I got to go be with my grandma. I got to go. You know what the problem is? Solomon had 1,000 women to deal with every day. They'll take up your time. There's nothing wrong with having those things. It's when we can't live unless we have those things. The natural result of greed and of loving this present world is to become so filled with the world instead of filled with God. Look at verse 11. This is our memory verse. Then I looked on all. I looked on my ranch. I looked on my palace. I looked on my gardens. I looked on my swimming pools. I looked on my servants. I looked on my money. I looked on all the wine cellar that I had built. I looked on everything. Look what he says. When I looked at all the works of my hands that had wrought, and on all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was futile. All was empty. All was a waste. That's what vanity means. And a burden of my spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. You know what God commands? Look at 1 John chapter 2. Go to the right. Hold your place here in Ecclesiastes. Go all the way to the 1 John, just before Revelation. Three little books called 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 1st John chapter 2. You know what Solomon fell in love with? Who did he love first? Somebody tell me. And Solomon loved the Lord. Amen. Okay, now let's look at 1st John chapter 2. Who does he end up loving?
Himself.
Not yet. He loves the world. 1st John chapter 2, verse... I find it 15. God commands this. This is not a suggestion. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. It doesn't stay forever. And the lust thereof, all the desire for it, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Solomon thought that he could love God and love the world. Let me give you a great truth, gentlemen. You cannot love two girls. One of them will kill you. And then they'll kill the other girl. Amen? And you cannot love God and this world. You understand? You cannot love God and sports. Nothing wrong with enjoying sports. Nothing wrong with rooting for the greatest team on all of Ireland. It's Cork! Amen! Enjoy that. There's nothing wrong getting excited about your team and being one of the greatest fanatics ever. But when it comes time to worship God, better be just as fanatic, huh?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had church that was just like you? Now ask your preacher permission. Before you stand on a chair. Here you're okay. But you know what would be nice if on Sunday you guys are in church, the preacher says something and you just, amen! You might wake up 15 old people. Amen! You enjoy the sports. You ought to enjoy church. But if you're so into it and you're at the field there or you're just watching your team on the television and you're just so excited and you can't get excited about God, you can't get excited about heaven, you can't get excited about somebody getting saved, you get the wrong devotion. You understand? You get the wrong devotion. And you know what happens? It's either one or the other. If Jesus is on the throne, that's who you're going to love. But if you have this world, guess who you're going to neglect? If the world is your focus, if your friends are your focus,
Guess who gets neglected?
God does. And God is very jealous. God is very jealous, folks. God commands us to not love this world. The wealth of this world can never bring happiness. Only God's wealth. Treasures in heaven can bring us happiness. The most miserable people in this world are those who are rich and wealthy. And they want to put on a good show. They got the fanciest cars. They change their women around about every other month. And unless you're Liz Taylor and you change your husband around every other month, you don't know who that is. But anyway, folks, loving this world, when you start loving the things of this world, and you'll understand that the older you get, you understand how strong the pull is for this world. What does this make up? The world are your friends. The world is the things that you start to focus on. Some of you are so smart. You're going to get to secondary school, then you're going to start in college, and you're going to be starting to love your career, and you're not going to have any time for God. You're going to start thinking about all the things you're going to do, and the house you're going to build, or the house you're going to buy, and there's what you do when you start focusing only on that. There's nothing wrong with owning a house. It's getting harder and harder, but there's nothing wrong with it. But can you imagine neglecting God? So, he was deceived by wrong devotions. He thought he could love this world and love God. And guess what? Which one ends up being neglected? God. Second thing. Dabbling in sin. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. No. I said Ecclesiastes. I was wondering why that didn't work. 1 Kings, thank you. 1 Kings chapter 11, dabbling in sin. So, preacher, I would never get drunk. You'll never find me so sick that I've thrown up 3 pints of Guinness. I'd never do that. Do you know, just like Brother Kelly was saying, I don't mind repeating it, that it's not the last drink you take, it's the first drink that ruins you. What am I saying? You know what Solomon did? He started to toy with sin. He didn't start right off. Solomon didn't wake up one day and say, I'm actually going to go kill somebody. He didn't say, I'm going to go commit adultery. He did not think of some vile sin, some wicked thing. He just started toying with it. He started playing with it on the internet. Oh, it's not real, it's not real. Well, yes it is. Look at your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But Solomon, look at the word, what's the next word? Love. He was devoted to many strange women. What's kind of funny is when I was growing up, every woman was strange. But anyway, except mother. But Solomon, this means that these were women who were not Jewish. They were just exciting. She is so different. Problem. Look at your Bible. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, the Zidonians, Hittites, and the Flashlights. Of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn your, what's the word? Heart. Stay with me, hard after their gods. But Solomon clave unto these in what? Love. In love. He just loves Kelly and Josephine and Bertha. And
we got Bertha in here.
When I marry her. Alright, listen, look at it. Yeah. It says this. Solomon clave unto these in love. What was he doing?
He just fell in love with a girl.
And then another one. But watch this. There's nothing really wrong when two people just love each other, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There is wrong. Because the Bible says this. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked. Can you imagine? Can you imagine putting a steel bar between a Ferrari and a Ford Pontiac? Oh no, what's a Ford Pinto?
Fiesta.
Let's put a steel bar between the two of them. You know, you rev those things up and they go. They don't match, do they?
No.
Amen. And the Bible says you don't put a mule with a racehorse in a yoke. Amen.
No.
And you don't put a Christian with an unsaved girl.
Amen.
You don't put a Christian with an unsaved guy. Do you understand?
That's
right. Solomon here, he loves God, but she is one knockout. She's one fine girl.
Yeah.
Get married. And she looks, she says, "You say that to all the girls." "Yes, I do." Yeah.
That's some great jokes you guys haven't heard yet.
Listen, Solomon, he says, "But I'm just falling in love." Something wrong with being in love. Yes, and there is. Does she love God?
Yeah.
Does she read her Bible? Does she go to church? Does she want to live for God? Does she open to the will of God? You better find out, amen?
Yes, sir. That's good preaching.
He says, but we're just, she's not really, really bad. And I'm not really sinning, but you're dabbling.
There you go, brother.
I just put the tip of my finger in the fire. That's all he thought he was doing. He was just dabbling in sin. Solomon starts toying with their religion, starts toying with their songs and with their traditions. Ultimately, it takes over his heart and it darkens it. And Satan dangles a temporary pleasure before our eyes and tells us, "Oh, nothing's going to happen." Do you know, I read this, and you probably heard it, but you ought to memorize this. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay.
Yeah.
It will always take you further than you want to go. And it will keep you longer than you want to stay. There's not a man who's ever picked up a cigarette, started smoking it, and within 6 months said, "I wish I could stop." And it's 15 years later before he's read 28 books, spent 2,000 euros, tried hundreds of patches, and he's finally able to put the fat down. It'll take you longer, take you further than you want to go. Third, dabbling in sin. Don't you go, listen, you guys have internet. Your parents may have internet. Don't you go dabbling and say, "Well, I wonder what's here. I heard about this website. I wonder who's on Bevo. I wonder what's on MySpace." Hopefully, prayerfully, your parents are watching that thing. You may get all upset at that and say, "Mom, listen, all my friends are on Bevo." So?
Yeah.
Not right. That stuff is filth. There's another one. What's the other site? There's Bebo, there's MySpace, there's another site, huh? No, there's YouTube. This shows. There's loads of them. I don't know. And everybody here in Ireland, everybody's got these sites and things. You're dabbling in sin. "Oh, I'm not doing it. I'm just looking at them doing it." What is the Bible? What did we learn last night? What you think about, what you concentrate on, changes you into that. You become what you think about. Third, there we are now loving himself. Still in 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 3. And he had, this is so amazing, 700 wives. Who's he thinking of? He's not thinking of them girls. "Honey, I want to make your life wonderful. It'll be next year, but I want to make your life wonderful." You think about it, man. He's not thinking about anybody but himself. And most of the guys that are across your path, girls, most of these scummy looking, I'm looking at the back row, no. Most of these scummy looking, oh, they got the cologne on. Oh, yeah, they got everything on the outside right. You know, the trousers are down to their knees. You know, they look exactly right like you want to marry. But these guys, listen to me, they're not thinking of you. They're using you. You understand? You gentlemen? I'm not stupid. All you guys were wicked. And it takes years, no? Let me tell you the truth. We think only of ourselves. It takes years to grow up and go, "I want to love that woman. I just don't want to be with her. I want to give myself to make her happy, to please her." Amen. Do you understand?
Okay.
It takes a long time for some of us men to grow up. You too. He's sitting there raising his hand with this. I don't know why. But I'm serious. I am dead serious. All Solomon was interested to get 700 wives. Now, believe me, every sin has a hook in it. He married 700 women. He wanted to have 700 women. Let me tell you this. He inherited 700 tornadoes. One's enough, amen. Somebody said, "What's the Bible say? How come you can't have more than one wife?" Well, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. And that was a rich one. In a few years, you'll understand that one.
Anyway, look what it says. Verse 3, he had 700 wives. I like how princesses and 300 cucumbers. I think that is so cute, brother. Concubines. Concubines means he not only had wives, he had girlfriends that he would go and see and spend time with. Can you imagine the selfishness of this guy? If your daddy came in and says, honey, I met a new girlfriend tonight, he'd be dead.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Right between the eyes. Yeah. This is Solomon, and his wives turned away his heart. Verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God anymore, as was this the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did his father David, his father. Let me tell you this. You may think your church is boring. You may think that reading your Bible, oh, this old King James Bible, these and thou, you have a problem with the these and thou. You just don't like the thou shalt nots. Amen?
Right.
That book, you can be, most of you are raised on video games, on television. It's hard to read, I understand. But you know, I found out every book to you is hard to read. Don't tell me this book is the one. Don't you dare sit there, oh, I just can't read it.
It's easier to memorize.
It is sure much easier to memorize. You know what you want? Like Solomon said, you know, the Zidonians are having more fun. I had this. We had a bunch of teenagers saved there several years ago. We had four of them, to be exact. One of them got saved, and then she went out and got three of her friends, brought them to church, brought them to discipleship, brought them to the teen Bible study. They got saved. They were on fire. And another church, you know what they had on Friday night? A teen disco. A Christian teen disco.
Well,
now, I think that's a contradiction of terms.
Yeah.
Christian disco is like Christian murder, Christian rock, Christian, you know, adultery, yeah. So anyway, here, because a disco is not for anything that's Christian, but listen to the point. And they came and said, how come we can't have a disco? I said, because it's an abomination to God. We're having more fun. You guys are working on your friend. You've almost got so-and-so saved. You almost got so-and-so coming out. And they're going, yeah, but the Zidonians are having more fun. And they went, bye-bye. Haven't seen them back in church. Every one of them is messed up. I mean, bad time. Messed up. You know what Solomon did? He thought of just himself instead of God, instead of doing right. And let me tell you this. Deceived by the wrong devotions, began to go, you know, I am pretty awesome. I think every girl needs to appreciate me. That's what he thought. And so all he thinks about, and some of you are going, oh, church is so boring. I heard about another church over there. It's more exciting. They use PowerPoint. they got drums. They got this. I mean, the Zidonians, the Milcoms, and the Mars Bars, and whoever else. They are all into all those things. Listen. Shh. Listen. You know what you're thinking about? Just yourself. Have you go to church and say, Lord, please, let me think of you. Let me make this place holy by my praise. If you went into Solomon's temple and you just sat in there and you didn't do anything, it would be a hollow shell. But when the people came into Solomon's temple and they sang, it was like being in heaven. It was absolutely, 2 Chronicles says it was absolutely amazing. Because the people came and they sang and the glory of God came. And you know what's funny? It could have been in Solomon's temple, or it could have been in a tent. Because years before, old Moses found out, when God's people contribute and participate, doesn't matter whether you're in a tent, you don't have to have a drum set, you don't have to have an electric guitar, you don't actually have to have anything, as long as you have a praise for God. Don't think of yourself. Because that'll turn into where all you're doing is you're making friends just for what they can do for you. Last point. He ignored God's warnings. Verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. God had actually spoken to him in a dream twice. Verse 10. and had commanded him. Here's God had commanded Solomon concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. He didn't obey. He ignored. He says, God, I can handle it. Oh, God, I'm not going to go that far. God says, oh, yes, you will. You know what? When King David was rebuked, how did David react? When that Nathan the prophet came up to him and said, thou art the man, what did David do? He said, you're right. I am so dead. God says, no, you're not. You're okay. Because you got the right attitude, I'll let you live. You know what Solomon did when God came to him and says, stop it. Quit gathering all these women like you gather newspapers. Stop playing with fire. You know what he said? I'm okay. I'm fine. Do you understand? You know, his devotions got him to where God couldn't even move him. Do you know what it took for Solomon finally to get right? All of his possessions to begin to wrap around him and begin to squeeze on him and enslave him. This is so sweet. It's called just desserts. How many like dessert?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, let me show you just desserts. Because old Solomon, for the next 32 years of his life, after he's built the temple and he starts to go down, you know what? With every wife he married a slave owner. Watch this. Oh, why Solomon? He was in bondage to 1,000 women. He thought, I'll show them a good time. And they just had... I mean, when he talked yesterday about how you have a war with that babe when all these women coming and taking your money to go shopping. That was just the tip of the iceberg. You know, it's hard enough to keep one woman happy. Can you imagine trying to keep 1,000 happy? He was in bondage to 1,000 women. He became in bondage to debt. And believe me, you start messing with drugs, you're going down. You will be so in debt, you'll have to start robbing. You'll start having to take money from your dad's wallet, from your mom's purse. You'll start doing things you'll be ashamed of until you're not ashamed of it anymore. You will be so in debt. And listen, these two guys that are caught off the shore there, missing head, with that stash, if you heard or not, some guys were in a little dinghy. They had a ton and a half of cocaine.
Whoa.
They were delivering cocaine via Ireland to England to ship all over and help all people blow their heads out, blow their minds. You know what? Those two guys failed in their mission. You know what's kind of amazing? The guys who shipped that cocaine and lost their shipment, those two guys want to be in jail now. Do you know why? Because they're dead men. They got 300 million euros worth of cocaine. That's now not going to be shipped to people and make money off of. Somebody lost a lot of money on the two Irish boys who messed up. Those two Irish boys want to be locked up for the rest of their life to keep them safe. There's some deep thoughts. If you start messing with sin, sin will suck you into debt. You know Solomon did? He built all of those big, huge buildings and all in his palace, and he built all that. It had to be paid for. It had to be maintained, and he had to tax everybody, and he lived in debt worrying about how am I going to make enough money to pay off these workers. They got to fix the roof, and they got to fix the water, and there goes my wife complaining about water dripping in her bedroom, and my other wife worried about the flood of the bathtub overflowing and the toilet overflowing over in her room, and how am I going to pay for all this? And it became such a burden. When he first started off with such joy and such pleasure, became a burden. And then became a slave. Bondage to him. Then the guilt. You read through the book of Ecclesiastes and you feel for this guy. He's like, he's full of, we call it this, we call it regret, but he knows he's done wrong. And you know what? He can't undo it. He's filled with guilt. Listen, you guys are young enough. But in a few years, you're going to meet somebody, 20, 21, 22, and you're going to sense such a hardness. You know why? Because they can't face the guilt of all that they've done. And it will kill them. I believe Solomon probably became one of the fattest kings because he did nothing. You know what's good? To get up and fix your own breakfast. Amen?
Hey,
did you know it's pretty good to get up and to clean the house for your mom? You know, it's really good to go out and change the oil in your car yourself. Amen? Now, some of you are going to enjoy that. But But if you had the money, you'd hire service to do it. If you hire service to do it, you're going to have a heart attack because you're not working. Because you're not exercising. My point is, he had everybody do everything for him. He just sat there all day, and I believe he blew up like a balloon. And then he's wondering, man, I can't. I just run out of breath. Just being able to walk 30 feet. He was a slave to sin. I think you're looking at Solomon with 1,000 women. You think, oh man, that'd be great. Not at all. Every person I ever met who went out from marriage after marriage after marriage, the most miserable people.
Yeah.
There is nobody who enjoys going through that thing again and again and again. Some people in this world, they don't have 1,000 women, but they got 1,000 cigarettes a week. They got bad friends who they can't even go to sleep at night except their phone will waken them up and somebody telling them, asking them to come out. They're a slave to bad habits. They can't stop doing some things. Bad thoughts, depression, anger, bitterness, the list just goes on and on and on. Oop, I'll go there. Did you know that worshiping anything else besides the Lord Jesus is idolatry? Do you understand that? What do we worship today? Do you know Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs for his son? We were talking, Brother Dan and I, and I'm through. Brother Dan and I were talking to Dan. Brother Dan was saying, how can a guy who writes a book of Proverbs come out so wrong? It's simple. He believed it, but he left it. His heart was once for God, and then it turned to the world. How easy will it be for you to put your Bible down and not pick it up again for months? How easy would it be for you not to come to church again for another few weeks and just neglect God? Oh, I never cursed God. You stay away from church, you'll find yourself cursing God.
Right.
Amen. You stay away from church, you stay away from preaching, you don't read your Bible, you're not working page by page, chapter by chapter, reading through your Bible, thinking about it, trying to ask God, God, teach me this book. If you're not doing that, you say, well, I would never, ever steal. You will. You will. You know, there's a way to break free. There's a way to break free. You know, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Let me ask you to stand and bow your heads in prayer with you. We're going to focus tomorrow on the wisest of all the wise, named Jesus. We're going to focus on the person we want to be like. But right now, we need to focus on what we're like. What we're struggling with. And we need to be a little afraid, just like we were last night. We need to consider, every head bowed, every eye closed, shh, nobody looking around. We need to consider, if Solomon, the wisest, smartest guy who ever lived, could make such a big fall, what hope is there for us? And the hope is in Jesus. We need to be very afraid of how we'll turn out if we don't keep our eyes on Him. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. Nothing wrong with getting married to the most beautiful girl in the world. I did. There's nothing wrong with enjoying all the things of this world. But they come second to my walk with God. They come second to my relationship with God. And if you just rush through the day and through these verses, even some of you are memorizing the verses, but you're not stopping and thinking, I'm doing just the same thing. I'm not hearing rebuke. I'm a fool. I'm not wise unto salvation. I'm just putting on a show. And if you're not walking with God, talking with Him, listening to His Word in your heart, you'll make the same mistake Solomon did. And why I'm here and why we got this camp is so that you don't make the same mistakes. Father, please bless these young people over and over. You're the one who's repeating all of these things over and over in our ears so that we finally get the truth, Lord, just how our hearts can be so deceived in the thinking of another love, falling in love with the wrong things, and thinking we can handle it. Lord, I pray that you would the rest of this afternoon, God. As we have fun, we go around. Lord, you'd have a way of just bringing back to our mind just all the things that we got out of balance, all the things our eyes are on. They get us upset if something goes wrong, or really just takes all our attention away from you, and we become aware of it and go, God, please help me to keep my attention on you. Help me to be wise. Wiser than Solomon, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.